The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to Bob Burney Live on this Wednesday afternoon. Welcome to our listeners in Tampa, Florida. That's right, we are simulcasting today. So we have the privilege of welcoming our friends on Faith Talk 570 and 910 AM in the Tampa, Florida area. And by the way, congratulations on your Stanley Cup victory in Tampa. 2 years in a row and the Super Bowl? Wow. Congratulations. But we also, of course, welcome our listeners in Columbus, Ohio. Well, basically the entire state of Ohio on The Word, AM 880 and 104.5 FM, WRFD here in Columbus, covering almost all of the state of Ohio. So wherever you may be listening, it is my privilege to be your host this afternoon, and I thank you for joining me and spending some time with us this afternoon. I tried to take this portion of the program to update you on stories we've talked about in the past. I would assume that Bill Bunkley dealt with this. I certainly did. It's the story of John Kluge. I have no idea whether I'm pronouncing that correctly. K-L-U-G-E. He was, and that's the operative term, he was a music teacher with the Brownsville, Indiana Community School District. But he was fired. Yep. Back in the spring of 2018, he was forced to resign. What was his crime? What terrible thing did he do? He refused to submit to a brand new school policy that said if a child is a boy but thinks he is a girl and wants to be called she instead of him or they or they or z or the other 100 pronouns, probably 100 plus, they would require the teachers to use the preferred pronoun of the student. Well, John Kluge said, well, a boy is a boy, a girl is a girl, and if a boy wants me to call him her, I don't think I can do that. I have religious convictions about it, but I also think it harms the child. Obviously, that child is confused about their sexuality, their gender, And I don't want to encourage their confusion. So he said, no, I can't do that. And the school board said, oh, yes, you will. And he said, well, no, I can't. So they forced him to resign in the spring of 2018. Well, he filed a lawsuit, and Monday, a federal judge by the name of Jane Magnus Stinson issued a 52-page ruling. I'm not a judge, never have been one, never want to be one, but why does it take 52 pages of legal gobbledygook to say whether a teacher has to use the preferred pronouns of their students when you have distinct religious convictions against that? 52 pages? Well, anyway, all right. Judge Jane Magnus Stinson ruled in a 52-page decision that the school, and here's where I quote from the federal judge's ruling, the school could not accommodate religious beliefs without sustaining undue hardship on the school, students, and faculty. Can I interpret that for you in reading the rest of the story? The religious conviction of the teacher was not as important as the potential of hurting a child's feelings. Yeah. They didn't want to hurt a child's feelings, even though that child is clearly confused about their gender, their sexuality, and so forth. They didn't want to hurt their feelings. And they were afraid that maybe the parent of that child might sue them. So instead of ruling on the constitutionality of the case, this federal judge made a ruling dependent upon hurt feelings and a potential lawsuit. Yeah. That's where we are today. I don't know whether he will appeal this ruling or not, but let me read just a little bit more of the judge's ruling. Magnus Stinson, that's the judge, noted, now get this, in this 52-page ruling, the judge acknowledged why the teacher objected to succumbing to the new policy. And I quote, Magnus Stinson noted that Cluj is a Christian who believes that God created mankind as either male or female, that this gender is fixed in each person from the moment of conception, and that it cannot be changed regardless of an individual's feelings or desires. So the judge acknowledges that this is what the teacher believes. However, the judge continued, the school district had demonstrated it could not accommodate Mr. Cluj's religious belief without incurring undue hardship. So, who cares about the Constitution? Who cares about the constitutional rights of this school teacher? Who cares about that? The school might incur, and I'm quoting, undue hardship. Hey, I got news. Defending liberty, defending freedom, sometimes, in fact, often incurs undue hardship. It is hard at times to protect someone's constitutional rights. But the judge really didn't care about that. They don't want a lawsuit. They don't want somebody to be embarrassed. So the teacher is thrown under the bus. His constitutional rights are trampled on because we don't want to create an undue burden. Yeah. That's why the appointment of judges is so incredibly important. And that's why Donald Trump appointed more federal judges during his four-year term than almost any president in modern history. That will continue to have a positive effect on America for many, many years. But of course, the current president and his administration will do their best to appoint judges who could care less about the Constitution. It's all about feelings. We can't allow somebody's feelings to be hurt. Yeah, but what about the Constitution? Well, the Constitution's nice, but we can't allow feelings to be hurt. All right, got to take a break. My number, 877-BOB-LIVE. How is the current administration handling the crisis in Cuba? Quite different from Central America. I'll try to explain why when we return.
Bob Burney Live, looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Do you remember back in the last presidential campaign when then former Senator Joe Biden and former Vice President Joe Biden was out on the stump giving speeches and so forth? And even in one or two of the debates among Democratic candidates, Joe Biden made it very, very clear. America is a welcoming country. Unlike that terrible tyrant Donald Trump, if I am elected president, the people around the world that are persecuted will find a loving, welcoming place here in America, because that's what we're all about. Welcoming the downtrodden, the persecuted. You will be welcome here in America. And of course, as soon as he was elected, he reversed a lot of Trump's border policies, and we are in the middle of the worst border crisis at the southern border of America in certainly recent history, possibly American history. And by the way, the numbers are not going down. We're just not hearing about it because the mainstream media doesn't care. Now, if it was Trump, it would be top story every night. But since it's the Biden administration, they don't really care that people are dying in the desert. And they are. Gang members are coming across our southern border. And they are. Record numbers of drugs coming across our southern border. And they are. Record number of unaccompanied children coming across the southern border. And they are. But how often do you hear about that? You don't hear about it at all. But anyway, President Biden has said this is the compassionate thing to do. And we've basically, in spite of what the chief of Homeland Security has said, and in spite of what the president has said, our southern border is wide open right now, and most reasonable people understand that. But what about the people trying to flee Cuba? For over 60 years, the people of Cuba have been under the thumb of a totalitarian, authoritarian, communist regime over 60 years. People are starving. They are running out of medical care right now in Cuba. And as you all saw last weekend, countless thousands of Cubans took to the streets in over 25 different cities across Cuba to protest the totalitarian regime in Cuba. And they are crying for help. Many of them were carrying American flags. So, will America throw our arms open to those that are being persecuted, tortured, even dying in Cuba? No. No. Here is a CBS News story from last evening, and I quote, "People fleeing Cuba and Haiti by boat will not be allowed to enter the U.S. even if they demonstrate fear of being persecuted or tortured in their home countries," Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas warned. And here's a quote from the current director of Homeland Security, who, by the way, comes from a lineage of Cubans who fled Cuba, which makes this even more bizarre. Here is a direct quote from the current director of Homeland Security. Quote, "Allow me to be clear. If you take to the sea, you will not come to the United States." Can I repeat that? Direct quote. "Allow me to be clear. If you take to the sea, you will not come to the United States." So what's the difference between these folks and people coming from Honduras, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Central America? What is the difference? Well, this is my personal opinion. I'm going into editorial mode here. I want you to know the people coming from Cuba know what socialism, communism is, and they are not likely to vote for Democrats when they come to America. If you look at the Cuban community in Florida, you see a large percentage who are conservatives. They don't want democratic socialism. And so these people are not future democratic voters. Now, some of you who are really sharp are probably saying, well, wait a minute, Bob. This is not a change in policy for the United States. The Trump administration had basically the same policy. And you would be right. But what's the difference? The Biden administration has changed much of the Trump immigration policy, and they have flung the doors wide open, except for people fleeing persecution and even torture in Cuba. Nope, you're not allowed. If you take to the sea, you will not come to the United States. That is the message of the Biden administration.